Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this first day of October 2020. I was absolutely riveted to a video blog recently by the individual who is our guest today, James N. Elliott Sr. He is an ordained minister, a church planter, a video blogger, and a Christian businessman in the insurance industry. And today we're going to be addressing the theme, obliterating leftist stereotypes of the black community and why the left desperately needs to perpetuate them. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, James N. Elliott Sr.
Well, hello there, Chris. So glad to be with you guys. And I'm looking forward to spending some time talking to you about this topic. I believe it's extremely important and valuable for the body of Christ that we get connected to this also. So thank you so much for having me.
Hey, it's my pleasure. And I am going to, right now, play the audio of this video so that our listeners can get an idea of exactly why I was so riveted by Brother James's presentation. Predominantly, the intent was to reach out to the black community, his fellow black citizens. You know, I hate having to describe or identify people according to how much melanin content they have in their skin. But in this day and age of a politically heated atmosphere like I've never seen in my life, I think sometimes that we have to do this when we're talking about certain subjects. So I hope that you listen carefully, and we will return to our live discussion with James N. Elliott Sr. after you hear what he has to say from this video.
Good afternoon. My name is James, and I just want to speak to individuals in regard to something that happened over the Labor Day weekend here in our home. But my daughter had brought to my attention that individuals had been asking her, "What's the matter with your father?" You know, in response to my Facebook post. And so I thought that was quite cowardly, because you can always get a hold of me. I'm not hiding anywhere. I'm not in a bunker. And even if I'm in the state that Joe Biden resides in, but they have questions about my stance. I want you to understand that I stand 100% against abortion. If friends and family can't understand that, I can't help you, because I will not abdicate that, and I will not take that back. I stand against it, I campaign against it, and I teach and preach against it. Abortion is murder, and that is my position. God said in his word, Proverbs chapter 6, he mentioned the fact that there are 7 things he hates. One of them is taking innocent lives. And that's exactly what happens when a baby is aborted or murdered. So I stand against that and will always stand against it. I'm not sure if many people know this, but in New York City in 2019, more black babies were aborted than birthed. That's critical. That's something individuals need to know. If that doesn't break your heart, I don't understand. But it breaks mine. And if it breaks my heart, I'm quite sure it breaks God's. And so I stand against abortion. I'll never support it. I stand for babies. God loves them, and God wants them to have an opportunity to live. The second thing that individuals have spoken to my daughter about, they should have came to me, is my position that I take for President Trump. One of the issues I have when you look at what's happening in society today, I stand with the president. Someone may see, well, they may say, well, he didn't have a perfect life. None of us have. Everybody has skeletons in the closet. But he's standing up for Christian principles, not only here at home, but around the globe. He has stood up for the values that we believe in, and I stand with him. It's not popular, especially around black folks, but I'm okay with that. I've been called every name that you can call me. But you know something? I know my name. I know what my parents named me, so it's okay. But I do want people to understand, especially black Christians and black pastors, I want you to understand that one day we're going to stand before God. And when we stand before God, we're not standing at black men, white men, yellow men, green men. We're standing in spirit. This flesh that you see, we have a 120-year lease. And then it has to go back to the dirt. This isn't ours forever. God simply gave us a body to house our spirit. So for me, he put me inside black skin, for someone else white skin or whatever the color. And the enemy has been using skin color to bring destruction, and people's heart are full of bitterness and resentment and hatred. And you have organizations such as Black Lives Matter, which is a Marxist organization. No Christian should stand behind it. I posted some time ago exactly what the founder says about Black Lives Matter. And you need to know it. You need to know it. You need to see it. Search for that. But they are demonically inspired. You need to know that. If you're a Christian, walk away from them. Antifa, walk away from Antifa. But you have people of color and others also who are standing with them and supporting them. In your ignorance, we have pastors and preachers who are supporting them, campaigning and marching with them. That's a disgrace. They oppose everything God stands for. And you're standing for them because you're being deceived into thinking they care, but they don't care. How, if they cared, the first life that should matter should be a baby? None of us would be here if it wasn't for our parents and being babies. We were given the great opportunity to grow. And they don't stand for that. And so, folks, I stand against Black Lives Matter. I stand against abortion. I stand for my president. He has done more for the American economy. He's done more for black and minority people than any other president. Turn off some of the mainstream media and do your own research and you'll see. So I want you to understand that's where I stand for. And for those individuals who are wondering what's wrong with me and you contact my daughter, leave my kids alone. Come to me. I can handle whatever you can throw at me. I was raised in New York City. Back in the 60s when we had to use this and not a gun, I can handle myself. Bring it. Okay? Bring it. But I want you to understand something. I don't groupthink. I didn't groupthink when I was a kid. Don't groupthink now. I had a Bible study in my high school in my junior and senior year. The principal put me right next to his office. And I have to teach the Bible. We used to have Bible lessons first thing in the morning. I'm okay with being ostracized. I'm okay with being shunned. There's more with God than there are against him. So, but I do want you to understand, there's a reason I have the positions I have. I'm concerned about babies. I'm concerned about America. And I do not want a Marxist government that has not worked anywhere in the world to be the form of government we have here in America. So I'm 100% pro-Trump, 100% Second Amendment, 100% God and Bible, 100% conservative, 100% against abortion. It's diabolical. It's demonically inspired. And pastors and preachers, you need to get behind every ministry that is against abortion. And I mean, get in there with your congregation and stand up for life. And stop playing games. One day when we stand before God, 60 million babies are going to be there to testify against us unless we stand now in support of life. Listen, if there's any question you have, if you're unsure about something, where I stand, what I believe, feel free to contact me. Feel free to let me know. But no need to speak to my children. There's an old saying, you want it, come on and get it from me, the horse's mouth. I'll be more than happy to share with you because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of my stance. And I thank God for the opportunity of living in the greatest nation in God's green earth. God bless you all now. Thank you.
Well, that was truly a powerful message. I'm sure if you have a passion to see unborn babies, the most fragile and most helpless human beings among us, if you have a passion to see them rescued from a torturous slaughter, I'm sure that that message by my guest today, James N. Elliott, moved you as it did me. And James, now I want to, as we typically do on this program, we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, whenever we have a first-time guest, if they are indeed a Christian, sometimes, although it's very rare, sometimes I do have non-Christians on the program that have something of value to say to the body of Christ, but for the most part, 99.999% of the time, I have brothers and sisters in Christ on this program. They're not all theologically reformed as I am, 5-point Calvinists, etc., but I do have a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ on the program, and I have them as a part of my tradition give a summary of their salvation testimony, what kind of religious atmosphere they were raised in, and what, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. So tell us about your story.
Oh, man, be more than happy to, Chris. I tell you, I grew up, I'm the fifth child out of seven, and I'm the youngest boy. And so my mom and dad, we had to go to church on Sunday morning, and that was just a regular thing. But then one day, my mom told my brother and I, said, you don't have to go to church anymore. You can go to Sunday school, and you can be finished for the day on Sunday. Well, we thought, I mean, that was absolutely awesome. This way, get to Sunday school in the morning, and I mean, then we can leave, and we can have the rest of the day to ourselves and have fun with our buddies and play ball and everything else. Unbeknownst to us, that Sunday school put more Jesus in you than church does. And so every Sunday we go to church, and the church had a minibus ministry that took you back home after Sunday school for those who went back home. We didn't even wait for that. We jumped on the New York City Transit bus and went home. We didn't want to wait for those folks. We were the first two out the side door of the church. Wouldn't even go upstairs. Went through the side, and we just headed home. And this one Sunday, it was Super Bowl Sunday, never forget it, back in January, and my brother and I went to Sunday school with my sisters, and then the benediction's given, which was always the greatest message we've ever heard on Sunday morning. And so we headed to the side door, And when we got to the side door, my brother looked at me and said, I'm going upstairs. Now, the thing about it is, when you say you're going upstairs, that means you're going to church. We never said we're going upstairs because we didn't want to go upstairs. But this Sunday, he said, I'm going upstairs. And I said, I need a clarification. I said, you going to church? He said, yeah. I said, okay, I see you. I ran out the door, put the bus and went home, watched the Super Bowl with some of my buddies at our house, and something came over me. I got up and I went to the kitchen to get something to drink, you know, and watching the game. And then I heard a voice that I never heard before in my life. I didn't know, maybe it was, I don't know what I thought it was, but it was strange. And it said, he saved. And when it said he saved, I said, no. I responded just like that to the voice. I never heard a voice speak to me like that before. I said, no, not my brother. This is my older brother who I love, who I admire. He's the greatest thing in the world to me. And so I said, no. And but I didn't say anything. I went back in the living room and with some of the guys and watching the game. And then about an hour, 2 hours later, the church minibus pulls up, and my mom, my father was one of the ones that drove me, so my mom was got out with my sisters and my brother, and he came into the room. When he came into the house, he looked at me and said, let's go in the bedroom. And so my buddies, we went into the bedroom, and I'm like, I look at him, I said, what's the matter? I could see something different. You know, what happened? He said, I went up to the altar. So in one day, my life was rocked. Number one, he said, let's go upstairs at church, which means let's go to church, and I didn't do that. Then he comes in, and he tells me when I'm to the altar. A second thing we don't do. We had made a pact that we were getting saved when we were about 50 or 60 years old after having all our fun.
That was the same attitude I had.
Yeah. And so in one day, he totally messed me up. And so he began to talk and began to share what happened when he went up to the altar. I didn't know he'd been dealing with some stuff, you know. He was a senior in high school at that time. But he began to share, and as he shared, as he talked, Chris, and we ran and he said, go get Mom's Bible. We went and got my mother's Bible, and we began to look through some scriptures. We knew scripture because of Sunday school. And so we began to look through some scriptures. Something happened in my heart. And I said, bro, just what I told him, these exact words. I said, I don't know what you got, but I want it. And I didn't know what it was, even though we had been going to church. You know, we never paid attention. We just stayed there and looked. You know, we had to look ahead so Mom wouldn't discipline us. But I really didn't know what it was. But that was the beginning of some stirring inside my heart. And from that moment on, I wanted whatever he had, and what he had was Jesus. And so we were so ignorant, even though we went to church, I thought you can only get saved on Sunday, so I went to prayer meeting on Tuesday, bawled like a baby, gave my heart to the Lord, but I never admitted I was a Christian until I went back on Sunday and did it all over again, because I thought Sunday was the day of salvation. I never read that in the Bible, but that just seemed like it was the appropriate day for salvation, you know. And that changed my life. That did it. And then God placed inside of both of us a tremendous hunger for his word. I mean, a longing and a thirsting for his word. And from there, Chris, I'm telling you, from there, we went to street ministries. That was one of the big things in our lives. We did street ministry while we were single, street ministry while we were saved. A whole group of us, we purchased PA equipment. And my job was to acquire the permits from the police department. And we went to some of the worst areas of New York City, set about our PA system. We had a keyboard player, and we preached the gospel on the streets of New York City. And we also used to try and work with the local pastors so that once people got saved, they had some place to go. So this is what we did. I mean, and absolutely loved it, you know.
Praise God. And, well, I'm so glad that that was a true rebirth that you experienced, because obviously you're still as passionate as you were on those street corners preaching the gospel. And let me ask you a question, because there is a phenomenon, as you are fully aware, and it is not exclusively for one skin color group or another. For instance, in the South, you have many, many white folks who believe they are Christian. It's really a cultural Christianity. Their churches that they are where they are members might even be right on the money biblical. And these folks believe that because they were raised in a Baptist church, they were raised in a Pentecostal church or whatever the denomination or fellowship might be, and their daddy might even been a preacher, and their granddaddy and their great-granddaddy, they might be from a whole line of preachers and so on. They think that they're born again, or they think that they're right with God just because of that. And the same is obviously true in the black community, where you have a lot of people who were raised either in the church or with a reverence for the church, for God. You even, at many music award celebrations, you will have the most scantily clad women going up to a microphone, thanking their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the award. So when you speak about the issue that you are currently so passionate about, the protection of the life of the unborn, the rescuing of children from slaughter, was this something that was always within your heart and mind, or were you accepting it as it seems much of the black church culturally? And especially when it comes to leadership that you see in the limelight. I'm not talking about necessarily pastors of community churches everywhere in neighborhoods all over the country, but I'm talking about the ones that you typically see in the media, who are typically beating the drum for the most left-wing politicians and candidates, who seem to not really be concerned about the life of the unborn. Tell us about your story when it comes to that issue.
Yeah, well, I tell you, with that issue there, Chris, one of the things is I was totally oblivious to it. I just had no idea at all about abortion. I was against it, if someone was to ask me. But the thing is, I really did not understand it, really hadn't delved into it. I hadn't heard it. I think part of the issue was probably my affiliation growing up in a black church. You know, we went to the largest black denominational organization church in America, you know, and so we were part of that church. And
is that the AME or?
No, that's the Church of God in Christ.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so we just wasn't exposed to it. And so I wasn't even aware of it, and so I heard of it, but I really wasn't aware of it. Once God opened our eyes to it, and I mean, it's recently, he opened my wife's eyes, and then she came to me and pulled me into to open my eyes up. And once I saw it, it was like, Lord, what have I been doing all these years? I wasn't even aware that this atrocity was all around me. I said, we were so too busy raising the family, raising our kids, getting them educated, doing things, pastoring, going through some emotions, but not aware that this heinous, demonic tragedy was taking place, not just in our neighborhoods, but in our country. Totally oblivious to it. All I could do was repent before God. That's what I did. I repented before God, poured out my heart to him.
And this was how long ago?
Yeah, that's not long ago. This is what I'm talking about, probably around 2 years ago. I was totally oblivious.
Wow.
I was living in my own world. Just like a lot of people, I just was a Christian. I was, you know, you're trying to get people saved. But when it came to abortion, I just was not aware. I don't know how it did, but it just did not show up on my radar. And when it did, when my wife exposed me to it, and I went before God. I mean, I went before him and repented and just broke down and cried. We became a part of one ministry called Love Life, based out of North Carolina, and began to work. But I mean, weep before God, because when God touches your heart and breaks your heart the way his heart is broken, and I mean, you won't be the same anymore. And that's what happened. And it bothered me. And so ever since then, we have been trying to get churches involved, get other Christians involved. And now there's more exposure. But the problem is now with the more exposure, we have pastors and leaders who don't see it as a relevant topic to address. They don't see it as something that's critical, or they make excuses for it. And one of the saddest things is the black church. And I break things down to color because, Chris, because my thing is this. I've spoken to my white brothers, and we talked about this issue. They can't say what I can say. Because if they say it, they'll be labeled racist and all that, and every other little term they want to throw at them. I can say it. I've confronted some black pastors in the black church should be ashamed of themselves.
Amen.
Because the thing is, when we're watching our children, if for just selfish reasons, if we're watching our kids being slaughtered, in every black neighborhood, in every Latino neighborhood, you can find Planned Parenthood in walking distance. And yet, we don't cry out about it because we don't want to lose members and we don't want to lose money. I said the worst thing in the world was LBJ's 501c, and we have too many pastors today with no courage.
Yeah.
They have no courage.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because I remember years ago, and by the way, if you're not familiar with this resource, you've got to become familiar with it. There is a documentary that you can actually watch for free on the internet, and you can also order DVDs of it or digital versions of it, but it's called Maafa 21.
Black genocide.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So I'm glad that you're familiar with it. So years ago, I had a bunch of DVD copies of this documentary, and I met, I don't really remember where I met this brother, but he was a black individual who was an active member of his church. And I asked him if he had ever heard of the documentary, and he said no. And I said, you've got to watch this. And the next time I saw him, I said, did you watch the video? He goes, man, yes, I did. That was heavy. That was an eye-opener. It totally transformed my understanding of this whole issue. And I said, well, now the next step is you got to show your pastor this DVD. He said, I'm not going to do that. I said, why? He said, he ain't ready for that. And I said to him, if you think he ain't ready for that, he's the first person you should give it to.
Amen.
And by the way, I just want to let our listeners know, if you want to find out more about this really amazing documentary, you can go to maafa21.com. M as in Michael, A-A, F as in Frank, A, 21.com. Maafa is, I believe, a Swahili word that means genocide.
Yes.
And it is about the origins of the abortion industry, how it was all rooted in racism, and the figures that were most prominent in the origins of the abortion industry and the pro-abortion movement were racist to the core. And it's interesting that even Planned Parenthood, that was founded by Margaret Sanger, who was a thoroughgoing racist.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting that Planned Parenthood, if I'm not mistaken, I have heard that they have finally distanced themselves or even renounced Margaret Sanger because it has become so irrefutably obvious and public that she was a racist. I'm not saying that they have converted or that they have really repented of anything, but it's just become an embarrassment for them. Have you heard that as well, that they have...
Yeah. What they've done, in New York City, because that's one of the ones that we go, we stand in front of it, we pray, and we stand for life there. That's the largest one in New York City, because that's where Planned Parenthood's headquarters is at. And they changed the name, I believe, to Manhattan Health Clinic, something of that. They took down the Margaret Sanger name, but the works of Margaret Sanger live on. And so our whole concern is you can change the name, but it doesn't change what you're producing and what you're doing inside. You know, that's the number one
right.
killing agency right there in New York City, more abortions are done there than any place else.
Right. And James, if you could hold on, we have to go to our first station break. And if anybody would like to email a question for James and Elliot Sr., our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if you have a personal and private question. Let's say you yourself had an abortion, or your girlfriend, or your wife, or your mother, your sister, your daughter, or somebody close to you had an abortion, and you obviously don't want to draw identity to yourself, or perhaps you are in a mainline church that is predominantly African-American in its membership and leadership, and you are dismayed by the opposition to the pro-life movement, or even just the apathy and the indifference. Whatever the case may be, and you don't want to identify yourself, as long as it's a personal and private matter, we understand that, and we will respect your wishes. But if it's just a general question, please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And we'll be right back with James N. Elliott Sr. right after these messages from our sponsors.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to HopeReformedLI.net. That's HopeReformedLI.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Our guest today, if you just tuned in, is James N. Elliott, Sr. And James is an ordained minister, a church planter, a video blogger, and a Christian businessman in the insurance industry. He also happens to be an African-American Christian, and he is speaking out publicly very boldly to rattle some sense and, even more importantly, some repentance in the minds and hearts of his fellow black citizens who have been either in opposition to the pro-life movement or have been just apathetic and indifferent about it. If you have a question that you'd like to ask James, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And obviously, we know that there are countless millions of people of all skin colors, especially white, that are not only in favor of infanticide, but seem to be very excited and giddy and enthusiastic about it. And even when you see them in public, when certain champions of the slaughter of unborn children are elected into office, you can see them just so excited and clapping their hands and laughing. And they're just so thrilled to see these things come about in our society, which are an abomination to God. You were saying that before the break that it's only been a couple of years that this issue has become such a vital, a central and important issue in your life. What were the circumstances that came about that drew more attention to the reality of this stain upon not only the United States but the world when it comes to the slaughter of unborn children, and even the murder of children who are born alive during the attempt at an abortion?
Yeah, well, I tell you, when you talk about what drew me, once again, it definitely was my wife, and she was made aware of it through a ministry that, like I said, that comes from North Carolina. It's called Love Life. And so she made me go to one of the meetings, and I went to one of the meetings totally unaware. I mean, and I just asked myself, I said, Lord, what was I doing? How come I didn't see this? And I just hadn't seen it. If I had seen it, I would have been against it and stood against it from the very beginning. But when my wife made me aware of it 2 years ago, and I saw it, and like I said, went before the Father, broken and contrite, repenting, and in prayer and weeping before Him, He changed my heart, and he gave me a heart for those babies. I have never known anyone knowingly that had an abortion. I never really knew anybody that was doing abortions. I didn't know anything about the subject. I hadn't even addressed the subject at all. I mean, I have dealt with family issues. As a pastor, you deal with all types of issues. This was one that, for some unknown reason, there were scales in my eyes. But once those scales were removed, and God changed my heart and made me aware of this atrocity, we went full steam ahead, and we continue to. And one of the things I would say, Chris, to black Christians, black pastors, last January we went down to National Day of Prayer, but it wasn't the National Day of Prayer, it was the Campaign for Life. Down in Washington D.C., there were probably almost I would say it looked like millions of people to me that were there. And the thing about it is, when we were there, I was looking around, going through the crowd, looking around fiery young people coming from colleges on buses, 8-10 buses. I mean, I saw all of my white brothers and sisters. My heart broke. I said, Lord, where are the spots? That's me talking to the Father. I said, where are the spots? How come we're not here? I said, Father, forgive us. I said, black folks want to talk about racism, but all of these white folks, from the young to old, even the president, when he spoke, he congratulated all of the youth that were there. Are here crying out against abortion, but they're also crying out for black babies. And where are we at? Home, in church, playing some games. And I said, pastors, one day I think we've forgotten because we have it so well here in the United States that one day we're going to stand before God. And he is going to ask us, what did we do? And so while I'm looking around and talking to people, because I went with a group of folks, my wife and I, we're going back again this upcoming January 29th. We'll be there again to stand for the babies. I think it's critical that the church, especially the black church, get involved. We are so like a cocoon, just so wrapped up in our own selves, and we need to start reaching out and touching lives outside of those four walls. And in this social gospel, I don't even want to go there, that social gospel, because as far as I know, Paul said any other gospel, let it be a curse.
Amen.
You know, and this thing is what's dominating the black church, and the black church needs to realize something. You're just black for 70, 80, 90, 100 years down here. You're not going to be black up in heaven. What are you going to say to God when you get there and you say, Lord, and he sees the bitterness in your spirit, and you say, well, Lord, you know how those folks used to treat us. He's going to say, what folks? Because when he looks down, he doesn't see green, white, black, yellow. He sees people, spirits, the ones he created. We are condoning racism by not speaking out. We're condoning it by, that's the only thing that we talk about, racism. Racism. Let me tell you something. Racism is real. Not going to minimize any of that, but the thing about it is this. That's your mindset also. I have no problem with it. I've been called everything in the book. Let me tell you something. It's much better in America 2020 than it was back in America 1960. It's a whole lot better. And if you can't admit that, something's wrong with you. You just told me you're a liar, because there is. You can live wherever you want. My parents back in the early 70s, when they went to buy their home, they had to move to certain areas of New York. They were looking at this one house, Chris, in an area that didn't have any black folks. And then there was another black family looking at a house about two blocks away from the one my mom and dad were looking at for us. We went out to the house. We all loved it. And before the other black family moved in, the house was burnt to the foundation. Now, in New York City, there's no way in the world a house can burn to the foundation. They have some of the greatest firefighters in the country. But they just made a point. They watched it burn. And my parents said, nope. It was a form of redlining. You know, so they went right back and said, nope, we got to buy in this part of town. And that's what they did. But the thing is, things have changed. And if people think things haven't changed, you're not being honest, you're not being truthful. And not only that, Satan is keeping you bound up, confronting something that really, you know, it's just a work of the enemy when you could be doing so much more for God.
Yes, the common claim that's even being repeated and regurgitated over and over and over again by the left during this very heated presidential race is that there is systemic racism, institutionalized racism in this country. Now, obviously, since the majority of people who live in the United States and who live in the world are sinners headed for hell, there are obviously many racists everywhere. And those racists come in all colors, not just white. But when it comes to systemic institutionalized racism, do you believe that that is really something that is in existence in this nation right now in the 21st century?
No, I don't. And I have been bold enough in saying that, and it's caused for a lot of frustration and anger from friends and family who constantly try to point out different examples of there being racism. I find one thing, if you're a believer and you do not know who you are in Christ, then you're still walking around in with the carnal mentality. Then let me tell you something. You're going to be confronted by every issue in this world. That's why the Bible says to renew your mind. You know, I have no issue with anyone, and it's not just me, and it's not because of me. It's because of what the Word of God says. And too many Christians today, you know, and too many pastors are filling people's head with knowledge, but they're missing the experience of getting on their knees and their face before God and allowing God to change their heart, allowing God to change their mind. You know, we have longer services. You know, let me just tell you this. My wife and I went to this mega church, and we were living in this one area in New Jersey. We went to this mega church for a couple of visits, you know, looking for a church. And this was just a few years ago before we moved down here to Delaware.
In fact, James, could you pick up on the mega church when we come back from our midway break? Because we have to go to a break right now.
Go ahead.
I'd rather not interrupt you in mid-sentence when you're right in the middle of this story. Folks, please be patient with us, because this middle break, as you may know if you listen regularly, is a longer than normal break, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show so that they can air their public service announcements and other local announcements to make Iron Sharpens Iron Radio local to Lake City, Florida, which is a requirement of the FCC. So please be patient with us, because while they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. So, therefore, use this time wisely and write down as much of the information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can, so that you can more frequently and more successfully patronize them. Because the more you patronize our advertisers, the more likely they're going to want to remain our advertisers, which means, subsequently, the more likely we will remain on the air, because we absolutely require, we need the funding from our advertisers to exist, in addition to the funding that we receive from very generous listeners who donate to us. So write down as much of the information as you can from our advertisers, and write down questions for James N. Elliott Sr. on abortion, on racism, on the leftist agenda of the black community. And the heart of our subject today is obliterating the stereotypes created by the left and perpetuated by the left about the black community. And send those questions to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new, beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years.
The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
Faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive. As
host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcmj.squarespace.com.
That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, always remember to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, whether it be for birthdays, whether it be for wedding anniversaries, whether it be for back-to-school gifts, whether it be for retirement gifts, bereavement gifts for those that you know who have lost precious loved ones. Whatever the case may be, it might be a baptism celebration. It could be anything that you that leads you to purchase a gift, always go to solid-ground-books.com as your first stop for your gift giving. And remember, don't only go to solid-ground-books.com when you're purchasing gifts for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Those that you know and love that are lost, who do not yet know Christ as their Lord and Savior, they need good Christian books even more than your brothers and sisters in Christ do. Something in those books that you give as gifts to your lost friends and loved ones may be used of God to draw them to an eternal and saving relationship with Jesus Christ. So please, always remember solid-ground-books.com, and always tell them when you're making a purchase that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We rely upon Solid Ground Christian Books to exist. They are a primary, a vital, a premier sponsor of this program. Without their financial support, we would likely not exist, barring a miracle of God. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently and generously purchase gifts for those whom you love. You're not only going to be doing them a favor or our show a favor when you do that, you're also going to be doing yourself a favor and anyone for whom you're purchasing these gifts, because solid-ground-books.com has the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present, so you can never go wrong. You'll never find anything heretical or anything blasphemous or anything that steers you the wrong way when you go to solid-ground-books.com. Before we return to our fascinating discussion with James N. Elliott Sr., who is speaking on obliterating leftist stereotypes of the black community and why the left desperately needs to perpetuate them, we just have a couple more announcements to make that are very important. If you love this show, ladies and gentlemen, and you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. You know, when I make these announcements for donations, I always feel very awkward, believe it or not, even though I make these appeals every day. I feel very awkward because I know that there are charlatans, there are false preachers and teachers, false Christians that saturate the media who are always hitting people up for money. They're promising them some kind of blessing in their lives if they donate financially. I hope that you don't put me in that category, folks. I am just making an appeal to you if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, because we are in urgent need of your financial help. We lost our two largest sponsors in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic hysteria because those two sponsors had their businesses hit very hard financially from the hysteria of the coronavirus pandemic. And therefore, they had to withdraw their sponsorship of this program. And I'm hoping it's just temporary. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm hoping it's just temporary. And until they help us out again, until they return to their regular support of us, please help us make up for that tremendous loss financially if you want us to remain on the air. And remember, as I always try to remind you, I never want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving that they're accustomed to their own local church where they are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't punish your own church to bless us. Never put your family in financial jeopardy. If you're really struggling to make ends meet, you're having a hard time surviving financially, then please don't give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio until you get back on your feet and you're blessed. Those two things are commands of God in the Scripture, providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for my radio show is not a command of God. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and family, and you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, then please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can also mail in checks the old-fashioned way via snail mail, made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, to the address that will appear on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you'd like to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, then we would be more than happy to accommodate you and launch an ad campaign with you, because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars as well. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put I need to advertise or I want to advertise on Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a local, biblically sound, Bible-believing church, and you need help finding one, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I may be able to help you find a church no matter where on the planet Earth you live. I have helped people all over the globe find churches, sometimes within less than a five-minute drive from their house, and they didn't even know these churches existed. I may be able to help you, too, so if you're in that predicament, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put I need a church in the subject line. And it also may be a church for your family, friends, and loved ones who do not have a biblically sound church where they live or they're not aware of one. It may be because you're going on vacation and you want to honor God by not forsaking the assembling of the brethren wherever it is you're vacationing. And I can help you too there, God willing. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put I need a church in the subject line, and God willing, I'll be able to help you out. That's also the email address where you can send in questions to James N. Elliott Sr., ordained minister, church planter, video blogger, and Christian businessman in the insurance industry, who is discussing with us today obliterating leftist stereotypes of the black community and why the left desperately needs to perpetuate them. That email address, again, is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And before the break, James, as you may recall, you were beginning to tell the story about how you and your wife visited a mega church in New Jersey a couple of times, and if you could pick up where you left off.
Yeah, well, one of the, I do remember that one, Chris, and one of the things that really bothered me was I wanted to go to the prayer meeting. And so I went to the prayer meeting midweek. And when I got there, I just figured, okay, you know, my wife and I, we're very prompt people, so I figured, okay, you know, maybe I'm just too early. And I get inside and get my place where I'm going to pray and stuff and get myself situated. And lo and behold, there's like 6,000-7,000 members on Sunday, but during the prayer meeting, there was about, I believe, it was less than 30.
Wow.
And I just said, Lord, I said, this is alarming because this is most important service, being connected to you. And I said, unfortunately, the pastor thinks his church are the ones that are there on Sunday. This is his church. You know, so it's just, these are some of the things that we're dealing with in the church, and it's so important for pastors to get the heart of God on. And when you get the heart of God, then God will be able to steer you the way he wants you to go. But Chris, I wanted to touch on something because it's so important. You just said it too, and that is the stereotyping and looking at how the left, they stereotype black folks. And one of the things about stereotyping, as we know, it's extremely dangerous because these stereotypes become so entrenched, they become so entrenched in society that they're almost impossible to fully remove. And that's some of the things that's happening, we see happening every day. And stereotyping can alter the way we think and limits our views. And so when it comes to black people, the way the left stereotype us, they always stereotype us as being victims, needing help. And they are masters at doing that. They've had years to do it to the point that stereotype of needing help is what enslaves us today. Because that victim mentality, nobody's born.
Well, we accidentally lost James somehow. Hopefully he's going to call us back very quickly. That happens from time to time. Welcome back. I believe we do have James N. Elliott Sr. back on the line. Are you there, James?
I am here. But what I want to talk about, though, Chris, we talked about those stereotypes because they're extremely important. And what they do, they're hard to remove. They become planted such as like a DNA in the hearts and minds of individuals. And the left have been specialists at putting together a DNA that of victim mentality that has hurt black people for years. And because it's not something we're birthed with. It's something that we're trained a particular way. And so it's an acquired personality trait, you know, in which a person tends to recognize or consider themselves as a victim because of some negative actions or circumstances instead of taking action or responsibility. And so when people who struggle with the victim mentality, they're convinced that life is not only beyond their control, but it's out to deliberately hurt them. And unfortunately, we have a party in our country that perpetuates that message subtly and sometimes extremely overtly. And it appeals to those who have been programmed a particular way. And they see it as, they see themselves as needing assistance because this belief results in constant blame, finger pointing, pity parties, pessimism, fear, and anger. These are some of the fruit from this victim mentality. And they're specialists at it. They're very good at it. And you really hear, they start generally a year before a major election. They start all over again. You gotta watch out, black folks, for those Republicans. They don't care about you. They're not gonna take care of you. We look out for you. You know, it's that type of insidious message that they, and not just like I said, insidious, that they propagate. And for years, decades, blacks and other minorities have bought that hook, line, and sinker and have run with that to our own destruction, dismay. I mean, you can go across the United States of America. And anybody who tells me they don't recognize when they're in a minority community, they're not being honest. And the majority of them are being run by specialists in this party who knows how to manipulate, who knows how to control, who knows how to cajole individuals. And they do a great job. And there's benefits, though, Chris, to being a victim. There's benefits. I wrote down 8 benefits to being a victim, because there are 8 that I could think of. Number one is not having to take responsibility for anything. Powerlessness. I'm not responsible. So when my neighborhood looks a mess, when the streets are ragtagged and trash is around, I'm not responsible. Someone else is. The second one I wrote down is other people lavishing you with attention. People giving you attention because you're a victim. You're handicapped in some way. And the third one that I put down here was that other people feeling sorry for you. And that's it right there, boy. That's the one, because that's the easy way that you wrap people around your finger is when they start feeling sorry for you. And those poor, wonderful liberal Democrats start feeling sorry for us, and they want to help us because we've been deprived, we've been cheated, we've been robbed. And number four I put down is that other people are less likely to criticize or upset you. Nobody wants to criticize you because it's not your fault. It's not your responsibility that the neighborhood looks like that. It's not your fault that that building happened to be burned down by rioters. It's not your fault. Nothing's your fault. You're free. The fifth thing it does for the victim, you have the right to complain. You can complain, and somebody will listen to you because you are a victim, and it's not your responsibility. The sixth thing I wrote down is that you're more likely to get what you want. That's why a lot of them do it. Give me what I want. I'm a victim. Give me something to eat. I haven't had anything. Give me this. Give me that. I'm a victim. Don't you care about victims? And then the Christian says, don't y'all love us victims? And then the seventh one I wrote is, you feel interested or you feel important because you get to tell people all of your stories. Your stories of victimhood. And they love that attention. And the eighth and final one I put down that I could recall was, you get to feel sad and persecuted. And these are powerful tools to avoid uncomfortable emotions. And then you gain the power to manipulate other people. Masterful stuff, Chris. I mean, this stuff, I read a book once, it's called Willie Lynch, you know, the Willie Lynch letters. And I'm telling you, he was trying to teach the slave masters how to make a slave. He gave them some explicit instructions. And I'm telling you, we have a party that must have studied his material because they are masterful at getting people to forfeit their independence and to turn it over and to be dependent upon them. And this is what they do. And it's so necessary for them in order to stay in power. This is why they continue it, because they need something. See, one thing Democrats are aware of that I think Republicans are not aware of, maybe they are, but they just need to really get fired up about it, is that right now in America we have what's called the browning of America. So I'll just say that by 2030, America will be a brown country. Well, brown people, for the most part, vote Democratic. You don't think the Democrats are chomping at the bits about that? Republicans, we need to wake up. We need to talk to minorities. And we need to, we cannot no longer forfeit states like New York and California and just say, well, we'll do without those electoral votes and we'll go to everybody else. We need to talk to those states, because in just a few more years, what are we going to do? It's imperative that we become much more assertive, much more aggressive, and we go out there and speak to them. Because the Democratic Party has a way of speaking to minorities that is so it's so manipulative the way they do it. They cause them to believe them, even though we have over 50 years, so that we can look 50 to 60 years, we can look back and see as Democrats have ruled major cities and major states across the country, we can look back and see the minority community has gone nowhere for over 50 plus years, but yet they still, in the voting booth, a large part of them, hold that lever for that Democrat. They must be educated. We must do something. And so that's why Democrats are well aware. The left is well aware that we have to keep the manipulation going on, keep the fear. Remember, that's what Willie Lynch did. He said to make them so afraid of being independent that they'll be dependent upon us. And he robbed them of that independence. And that's the one thing Democrats do. They want to rob you of your independence. God gives us independence. He gives us freedom. And that's the number one thing they go after. They want us dependent upon them, big government, big brother. But God, and we deserve to be free and independent beings without someone controlling our movements and what we do. But I'm telling you, they have strategized and they've done a great job of manipulating the minority community.
That was extremely insightful of you, brother. And not exactly a way to win friends and influence people with the hatred that the left has for exposing everything that you just exposed. The politicians running for office on the left side of the aisle, they know that they need to actually perpetuate this victimhood in order to have a reason for people to reelect them. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I believe that.
And that's why they need to perpetuate the stereotypes.
Yep.
And by the way, as anybody knows who listens to this show enough, I do not think that the Republican Party is by any stretch of the imagination a spotless, pristine party filled with Bible-believing, born-again Christians. The Republican Party, I think the greatest flaw, the most serious flaw of the Republican Party is cowardice.
Yes.
And they very often reveal that the pro-life issue is really something that is on the lower rung of the ladder of importance. Very often Republicans view the fiscal aspect of their platforms as being king, and they're willing to tolerate, even on Fox News,
yes,
they're willing to tolerate folks who are pro-infanticide. There are major voices on Fox News, and I'm not even talking about the liberals like Juan Williams. I'm talking about the ones professing to be conservative and Republican who are pro-infanticide. Tammy Bruce, for instance, who is a brilliant woman. I am typically fascinated by her brilliance, and she's very articulate and very right on the money so often. But she is not only a lesbian and a horrible role model for the daughters of Christian parents who watch Fox News regularly, but she is, believe it or not, folks, she is pro-abortion. She is just against late-term abortion, but it's all murder.
That's right.
And there are other voices in this major media platform that most people view as the major platform for conservatism. There are a lot of folks that view the pro-life issue as being not really crucial and not really at the top of the ladder of importance. We have some listener questions for you that I want to get to. We have Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, a frequent listener to this show and also a very generous supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Grady says, "Greetings, brothers Chris and James. The figures I've seen for abortion of black ethnicity is around 33%, and as you said, over 50% in New York City. Over the years, I've explained to several people that are black that when President Lyndon Johnson signed the bills for welfare, that it destroyed the black family. Do you agree with that assessment?" Actually, I guess you missed it, but our guests, James and Elliot Sr., did mention that, if you want to reiterate that.
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. You know, because if we look back in the 60s, when you had at least about 70% of all black African-American households had a mother and father, and now you look at the numbers now, that it's staggering that it's about 30%. And that's scary. Then we also have, on top of that, over 30% of black abortions. So we're losing generations. And that's another reason. If the church, the black church, for no other reason but selfishness, we have lost at least two or more generations to abortion, and to be silent about it, it's just an abomination before God. It's just wrong to be silent about something like this. I mean, God wasn't silent about it. I shared some scriptures with people on Facebook about, throughout the scriptures, God has been against abortion. He has been against killing of babies. You don't take innocent lives. He told Jeremiah, I saw you when you were in your mother's womb. He said, that's when I saw you. That's when I spoke to you. In this mother's womb, God loves life. And if that doesn't pull at the heartspring of every pastor, if that should grip your heart, pastors and leaders and believers, if that doesn't pull at your heart, I would say, let's go down to the altar again. And I'll be more than happy to go with you. Let's go down and let's get a new soaking in the blood of Jesus. Let him wash us anew. Let him creating us a clean heart again so we can have his heart and feel what he feels when he sees abortion and we see people lost and babies being ripped out of parents, out of women's wombs. We need a new baptism and salvation.
We have, and I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, she is a first-time questioner, Elena, E-L-E-N-A, from Staten Island. "Your testimony identifies you as a fearless man of God, and your message resonates within me. What can we Christians do to spread your message and affect people of all ages with this prayer to God?"
Well, you know, the wonderful thing about it is, and this is what I tell folks, I appear to be fearless, but my courage comes strictly from the Word of God and from His presence. I believe the further we go in the kingdom, the deeper we go, the more we spend time with Him in prayer, the more time we spend with Him in the Word, and we allow Him to change our hearts. Not just praying to ask Him for stuff, but getting in His presence and letting the Holy Spirit soak us and fill us anew, God will energize you just like He did the apostles when they prayed next for courage. God will strengthen you and give you the courage you need to go and tackle whatever assignment He gives you. He'll give you the courage and strength for it. Spend that time with Him. Let Him soak you in His presence.
Well, thank you, Elena. Or Alina. By the way, since I believe you are a first-time questioner, you have won a New American Standard Bible. So if you give me your full mailing address in Staten Island, cvbbs.com, a sponsor of this program, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, will ship you that new American Standard Bible free of charge to you and to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. And we thank CVBBS, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, for always shipping out the winners in our audience, the free Bibles and books and DVDs and CDs and other things they receive when they submit questions to our guests. And we also want to thank, obviously, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible, who have been steadfast in their support of this show. And I got the good news today, just today, that they are renewing their advertising sponsorship for Iron Trip and Zion Radio, which gives me plenty of reasons to sing praises to our Lord. Additional reasons, I have innumerable reasons every day to praise the Lord, but this is just another one. And we thank you folks at NASBible.com for supporting this broadcast. We're going to be going to our final break right now. It's going to be much more brief than the last two breaks. So please, if you have a question that you'd like to submit, send it now before we run out of time to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with James N. Elliott Sr. and more of our discussion on obliterating the left's stereotypes of the black community. And we'll be right back.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and this is our final segment of today's interview with James and Elliot Sr. I've been totally fascinated by this brother and his insight into the subject at hand, obliterating leftist stereotypes of the black community and why the left desperately needs to perpetuate them. If you want to join us with a question of your own, please send in your question immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. We have Viv, as in Vivian, I believe. Viv in Brooklyn, New York. I'm sorry. Viviana. This is Viviana. Viv is short for Viviana. and she's from Brooklyn, New York, I believe, a first-time questioner. What about the pastors who say we can't make abortion a one-issue voting for candidates? That's an excellent question because I hear that all the time. And I'm going to even relate to you a story after you answer that question, James.
Yeah, that is a great question. And I think, I think they need to reexamine the scripture and get the heart of God, because the thing about it is abortion is murder. It's a nice word they gave it, abortion, but it's murder. And if you can't make this one subject credible enough for you to go pull a handle for whoever's against it, I think, once again, we need to reexamine the scripture, and we need to examine our values in light of the Word of God. God said this murder, and He's for the babies. I think it equates to being something that we should do. My conscience alone should say I cannot side with someone who condones murder, like the governor of New York, right up to birth. When the baby's born, it just must be. And so we need everybody to vote your conscience, and I believe you'll vote the correct way.
And Viviana has two other excellent questions. How does liberation theology and the social gospel control the black church and keep it beholding to the Democratic Party?
Yeah. Well, one of the things is that the social gospel comes across the same way as the strategy of the Democratic Party. It comes across as a victimhood. We're in need of something outside of Christ. Our race has been harmed. We have slavery as our history. Therefore, that along with salvation needs to be dealt with and addressed. And so we're, instead of just recognizing what Christ has done on the cross, liberating everybody, some people tend to decide, especially the social gospel folks, they decide that we need to also propagate a gospel which is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a gospel mixed with some social so-called justice mixtures mixed in there, but it's not the truth. There's one gospel. The liberating gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only gospel that should be propagated. But in the West, you can play games. But if you were to watch that show on, I believe it's on YouTube, the one that talks about the Iranian church, you would realize that we can play games in the West because we're not confronted with what our brothers and sisters in Asia and Iran are going through. But it's time, it's high time for us to get serious about this and recognize Jesus must be first in everything we do.
Amen. And Viviana, wait a minute, she has one more question that's also excellent. Wouldn't socialism enslave blacks even more?
Certainly. You need someone to control. that's what it does. And the underclass is typically the ones that are very easy to get under control because they're in need. And that's just what Democrats want to do. They want a system of government in place similar to Venezuela that not only does it put a group in under control, but it also means someone must be the dictator. And right now, the black community, for the most part, is primed and prepped for someone to reign over us unless we awaken, come out of our sleep, and realize that independence is the way to go, and we need to run away from the Democratic Party.
Amen. And Viviana, you have also, because you are a first-time questioner, I believe, you have also won a New American Standard Bible, compliments of the publishers of the NASB, and also compliments of our dear friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for BibleBookService.com, who will be shipping that Bible out to you as long as you give us your full mailing address in Brooklyn, New York. Thank you so much for the excellent questions. And I have just a little interesting story that you might find entertaining. It had to do with Viviana's question about the one-issue voting. Years ago, when I was broadcasting my program live from Long Island on WNYG in Babylon, Long Island, and WGBB in Babylon, I re-aired a program, an interview that I did with Clenard Childress. I don't know if you know.
Yes, very familiar with him.
Okay, great. He is the host of blackgenocide.org website and a pro-life black activist. And I re-aired an interview that I conducted with Dr. Childress right after Barack Obama was elected for his first term in office. And a friend of mine who is a black minister in the community on Long Island emailed me to share with me how disappointed he was in me for re-airing this program after the election when we needed racial healing on Long Island more than ever. And I said, well, I find it odd that you find this in opposition to racial healing when I'm white and my guest was black and we were both sharing our opposition to child murder, so it's kind of strange that you would say it was an affront to racial healing, but I said, I'd like you to come on my show and invite any other pastor that you'd like who agrees with you so you can give your grievances. So they did come on my program. He and a pastor of his selection came on my show, and one of the things he said was, the thing that really irritates me about the white evangelical community on Long Island is that they tend to be one-issue voters. It's all about the pro-life movement, and nothing else seems to matter. So I said to him, Let me give you a scenario. Let's say there was a candidate, whether it be for mayor, for governor, for Congress, for Senate, for president of the United States, no matter what this person was voting, was running for, and you agreed with every single position this person had on his or her platform. The only problem is this person was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. Would you vote for that person? He said, absolutely not. I said, why? Because he's a member of the Klan. That's why. And I said, what, so that's one issue then that would determine your vote? And he was speechless. He nobody had ever posed that question to him before. He said, well, he's a member of the Klan. That's all I could say. I said, everybody has their issue that's going to make or break who they vote for. Just thought you'd find that interesting.
That is a great question. I loved how you framed that with him. That's awesome, Chris.
Well, I want you to have 2 minutes to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Well, I appreciate that, and I also want to thank your listeners for tuning in and really appreciate that. And we just pray, and we hope that the words that we shared with you and that your ministry, Chris, that it will help awaken people to stand up against abortion. Get involved, and if you're a black American, you were listening in, I want you to understand something. I love you very dearly. I'm black myself, but I do believe that we lessen the power of the gospel by constantly accepting the victimhood mentality, because I there's a saying that I read once, and I think it's so apropos. It says those with a perpetual victim mindset tend to create the situations from which they suffer. And I think a lot of individuals, so-called black leaders, have basically led us to continue to perpetuate the same suffering year after year. There has to be a change. And if the change isn't the community, the change is in us. It's in our minds, in our thinking. So I just pray for you. I just pray for your change. I just pray that the Lord opens his word up to you. Seek Jesus. And there's also three ministries I want to point out. Also, Chris, that I think people may want to contact them. You can contact them online. Get a hold of it. Get involved in the fight to save babies. One is Love Life, and like I said, they're based in North Carolina, but we also work with them up in New York. And there's another one that we work with in New York. It's called 40 Days for Life, another great organization led by a husband and wife team from Long Island. And so love them, Joni and her husband. And then we also have the Life Team, and that's another organization. Get involved. Don't sit on the sidelines, because when the Lord comes back, he said, I told you to occupy till I come. And the church in the West is going. This has been a small shaking with this coronavirus, but it's a shaking nonetheless. The Spirit of God is shaking the West, because the West has been at ease while our brothers and sisters across the globe have suffered for the faith, and they suffered because they wanted to teach and to preach this gospel. Our job is not only to support them, but also to understand that God needs us to take our position on the wall and do what He asks us to do.
Amen. And you can find our brother's video blogs on Facebook. His name is James, middle initial N, as in Nathan, and his last name is Elliot Sr., and I don't know if his middle name is Nathan. I just use that as a reference.
Nathaniel,
okay. And do you have any kind of contact information that you care to share?
Well, all that information, it's on there, but my email, you know, if they want to email me, if someone has a question, they're welcome to call and to email me. My email address is jameselliottsr@gmail.com. And Elliot has two L's and two T's.
And that's SR for senior at the end.
SR for senior, correct.
jameselliottsr@gmail.com. And I want to quickly plug some ministries as well. Once again, if you want to see the free documentary, Ma'afa 21, go to ma'afa21.com. That is a pro-life documentary hosted and created predominantly by black Christians. We also have the aforementioned blackgenocide.org, blackgenocide.org, the website of Dr. Clenard Childress. I also want to plug a ministry and podcast and blog by two black brothers who are conservative and pro-life, and they also happen to share my theologically reformed views. I'm speaking of Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, and their ministry is Just Thinking. And you could go to justthinking.me justthinking.me, as in M as in Michael, E as in Edward, justthinking.me. I want to thank you so much, James, for being such a superb guest. I want to thank all of our listeners today, especially those who took the time to write in questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen. Thanks so much, Chris. I greatly appreciate the opportunity.
Amen.